please take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 41 through 52, and I'll reference God, who stands for the bread. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Every year, his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, he went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. "Did you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased wisdom and stature and favor with God and with people. And see. Sunday we were looking at earlier verses in the chapter and the time of Jesus' dedication at the temple, his first visit to the temple, and we see in today's passage, 12 years later, another visit to the temple. He'd been visiting every year between, but it's just there are a lot of things that are not recorded about the life of Jesus because the Gospels are not in-depth biographies, but they're a message about who Jesus is, what he did, why he came, and what, if you will, is in it for us. What's in it for us? Salvation and forgiveness. Well, when Jesus was brought to the temple, he was just a couple of months old at the most. Actually, 33 plus 8, so not quite 2 months old yet. He had been brought for dedication, and there was a man, doesn't say he was a priest, just a righteous man named Simeon. Simeon was a man that was looking forward to God's promise being fulfilled of the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ coming to set everything right. Now, not everybody at that time was looking forward to the Messiah coming. The religious leaders, we know from looking at the Gospel of Matthew, knew that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. But they didn't bother to have anybody in Bethlehem waiting for the child to be born. They were in Jerusalem because their concern wasn't like Simeon's, wanting to see the Messiah come. That becomes even more clear when Jesus begins his ministry at the age of approximately 30, and it doesn't take long for the religious leaders to begin trying to find a way to eliminate Jesus, to either quiet him or later to kill him. But Simeon was a man that was focused on God's plan. And somehow God had made it clear to Simeon that he was not going to die until he saw the Messiah. Now, Simeon, he says, was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's something that was not common at that time before Jesus brought forgiveness of sin. But in the New Testament time, when we have forgiveness of sin, the Holy Spirit comes and lives with us. As Jesus said, I will send another counselor to be with you forever. Well, Simeon was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple at that time. And he picks up the baby Jesus. And he says, God, you can let me die now. Because I've seen your salvation. Just a baby, 8 days old. 8 days and 33 days old. So, 41 days old. And Jesus was spoken about by Simeon. And he says, you have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory to your people Israel. He recognized with this new baby that that was God's Messiah. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the maternity ward in the hospital and seen all the little babies in their little bassinets. You don't generally look at them and say, ah, that one's going to be a business owner. Oh, well, that one over there. They're going to be the greeter at Walmart. And that one over there, they're going to be a scientist who discovers this great invention that helps everybody. And that one over there is going to be a farmer. No, you just look, hey, those are babies. They make a lot of noise. It's nice when they're sleeping. Well, Simeon saw the baby Jesus and recognized that that was God's plan coming to fruition. What God had promised hundreds of years before was now in his hands. And he said, this child is destined to call the fall and rise of men. Depending on what you do with the message that Jesus brings and his forgiveness, you're going to be able to rise from your sins and look forward to an eternity in heaven. Or are you going to fall because of your sins into an eternity in the fires of hell? It's all what you do with Jesus. Our flags are at half staff. And yesterday I was looking, watching the service for President Carter's body being brought in to the Capitol Rotunda in preparation for his funeral later. Jimmy Carter gave a testimony about his faith in Jesus Christ. Why say the body of Jimmy Carter? Jimmy Carter, the moment he breathed his last, was not there. He was in heaven. As Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. Jimmy Carter gave testimony about his relationship with Jesus. And so, as Simeon said, destined for the rising and falling of many, Jimmy Carter rose to heaven. Not because he was the president, but because of his statement of faith in Jesus Christ. Madeline Murray O'Hara. who was a person that made it her campaign to remove any reference to God, especially prayer. She was the one that credited removing prayer from school. Before she was murdered, unless she changed her thinking, fell into the fires of hell. There's no evidence that she had a last-minute change, but she was abducted by one of her relatives and executed. They found her body later, and she is one who is a testimony against God. There are other people that say God is not real, and they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Jesus. One of the pictures that comes up on my screen, I have a bunch of saved pictures, is from a previous campaign rally when Beto O'Rourke was running for office. And there's a person holding the sign, "Beto is our Christ." Well, the person holding up that sign, unless he's had a change of heart and realized who the Messiah really is destined for a fall into hell. As I see that picture, I pray for that individual who's still alive. I don't know, it's a few years ago when the picture was taken. But it just shows the attitude of someone in the crowd saying, a man, not God, is the one that I'm going to put my hope in. We should put our hope in the God-man, Jesus Christ. And then a little bit later, after Simeon spoke, here comes a woman, Anna. Anna was either 84 years old or had been a widow for 84 years. Don't know which one. It's clearly the most straightforward reading of Scripture is she had been a widow for 84 years. But it can be read that she was 84 years and had been a widow for a long time. But then she comes and she starts talking to everybody that is looking forward to the coming of Messiah and to the redemption of Israel. It doesn't say she picked up the baby like Simeon did. We don't know. She might have. But there were a lot of people that wanted to hear the message of Simeon and Anna. A lot of people wanted to hear the truth. And then Jesus, with his family, returned to Nazareth. Now, there are some events that took place between the presenting of Jesus at the temple and getting to Nazareth, but Luke doesn't include that. That's okay, it's included in some of the other Gospels. But the next event that Luke records is when Jesus is 12 years old. And in our passage today, we get to hear the first recorded words of Jesus. I don't know if you ever think about this passage that way, but that was something that hit me. I didn't come up with it. I was reading one of the commentators talking about, yeah, that's right. Because Jesus didn't talk when he was less than 2 months old, or at least it's not recorded that he talked. But here, every year, Jesus' family went up to Jerusalem. Now, they lived in Nazareth. Nazareth is north of Jerusalem, but it's uphill. Jerusalem is uphill from everywhere else in Israel. It's on a high plateau. So, every time someone goes to Jerusalem, it's saying they go up to Jerusalem, whether they're going north, south, east, or west. They're going up to Jerusalem because it's uphill. And then when they leave Jerusalem, they're going down to anywhere else. Jerusalem and Nazareth are about 80 miles apart. So about the distance from here to Galveston. Now, you say, that's not that long a distance. We can drive down there, and it's not a big thing. But imagine you have to walk from here to Galveston. Your trips to the beach would not be a short-term endeavor. You're talking about planning at least 2 weeks, like 3 or 4 days to get there, 3 or 4 days to get back, just to have a few days on the beach. Well, every year, Joseph and Mary and their family went uphill from Nazareth to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Passover is, we have Easter about the same time as Passover. It's the easiest way to remember. But the Passover is one day, and it's followed by 7 days of the festival of unleavened bread. So it's an 8-day period. It's one of three festivals that every Jewish man is required to attend every year. The festival of Passover, the festival of Pentecost, and the festival of Tabernacles. 3 times a year, everyone in Israel was to go to Jerusalem. It ended up that most people, if they went, only went on Passover. Sort of like a lot of Christians. It used to be, they don't even do it anymore. You used to have Easter and Christmas Christians. They'd only go to church on Easter and Christmas. Now they don't even come in. But Joseph was devout, Mary was devout, and they came every year and stay for the whole 8-day festival. And then it says this happened when Jesus was 12 years old. 12 years is the point when a Jewish male is considered to turn from a child into an adult. So this would be his first time at Passover being considered an adult. And we have a setting that they might have taken this idea from for the movie Home Alone. Jesus got left behind. I remember the movie Home Alone. The family thinks the child's with them, and through many things that just the turmoil of having the big family, they think the child's with them until they are already on the plane and going to the destination, and they realize that we're missing a child. And then they have to return and find the child. Well, Mary and Joseph, they think Jesus is traveling with their group, and they travel a day's journey away from Jerusalem. They begin looking for him. They don't find him. Probably they went where they stopped for the night to camp. They began looking for him, couldn't find him. And then you got another day's journey to go back to Jerusalem to try to find Jesus. And then after the other day's journey, you got the third day they could spend looking for him. So it says when Jesus was found on the third day, it wasn't they were looking in Jerusalem for 3 days. It's just they had already 3 days since they had left. So now they're back and they find him. And they find him in the temple asking questions and answering the questions of the other men there. was amazed who heard his answers. Where is the wisdom that this one has? You know, I don't know how much interaction you have with broken souls, but they don't have a lot of answers to deep questions. Some of them are still at the point, why is the sky blue? And, or why can't I go do that? What? And they're wondering, okay, what did you tell me I was supposed to remember for this test? A lot of 12-year-olds don't have a lot of answers. And nobody runs to the foot of a 12-year-old to find a deep and expect a deep answer. But they were getting it from Jesus. Imagine Albert Einstein goes up to this 12-year-old, and the 12-year-old starts explaining to Albert Einstein quantum physics. Oh, wow. I just got to the theory of relativity. I came up with myself, but this is quantum physics. You take it another step further. Well, everyone was astounded. It doesn't tell us what questions Jesus asked the others or what answers he gave, but I imagine it's like many of the questions and answers he gave later on. Explain what Scripture really meant. Haven't you read right here where it says, or don't you know, that is what's inside that defiles the man, not what's outside. It's the heart that matters, not the outward action. Or don't you know that rituals don't save you? There's got to be more. We don't know exactly, but it was probably something along those lines. He had a deep understanding of God's truth. And then, Mary and Joseph find Jesus. And they're astonished where Jesus is. And they asked him, didn't you know, or why did you do this to us? Why have you treated us this way? And here is Jesus' first words recorded in the Scripture. Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to come to be in my Father's house partner? That's the second sentence. The first one, why were you searching for me? Why were you searching for me? And that's a question we also need to have an answer for. Why are we searching for Jesus? Are we looking for Jesus to make our life more comfortable? Or are we looking to Jesus to bring us forgiveness of our sins and the way to heaven? In John chapter 3, a man named Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And in verse 2 of John 3 it says, this man came to him at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform these signs you do unless God were true were with him. Okay? And Jesus replies, truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why was Nicodemus looking for Jesus? Jesus already knew, and he began answering that question without Nicodemus even asking the question. Nicodemus said, we know you have the answers. And Jesus said, let me tell you how to get to heaven. Why, back to our passage in Luke, why were Mary and Joseph looking for Jesus? Do they think he might be lost? Did they not understand what the angels had made clear to both Mary and Joseph, that Jesus is the Son of God? That's when Jesus responds with another question. Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house? Explaining both Mary and Joseph, he knew who his real father was, and his relationship depended on an acknowledgement of that. Jesus was not just a man with a delusion to think he was God that came later on. He knew who he was from the beginning. But just so you know that Jesus was not a disobedient child, the chapter ends with, Jesus, he then went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. Jesus knew his position, knew who he was, but he still was obedient to two sinners whom he had created, because he fulfilled all things. He did everything without sin. Who is Jesus? We're going to answer that question as we continue in our scripture, because a lot of people have different ideas of who Jesus is. Mary and Joseph were a little confused by Jesus' answer. Even though they were told 12 years earlier who Jesus is, before he was even born, and heard the message from Simeon, Anna, the shepherds, the Magi, they still were a bit confused. Sometimes we get confused and forget who Jesus really is. He is God, come to his creation to bring forgiveness. We need to be ready. And that's going to be Sunday service. How do you get ready for Jesus coming? Stand on me before us. What's up? Dear Lord, I thank you that we can come and study your word. I pray that we will think seriously about who you are. Not be one that thinks you get lost, but you know exactly where you need to be and when you need to be there. You are the one that brings the right questions to us and provides the right answers. Let us seek your answers. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.